Hey girls, Maria Menounos here, author of The Every Girl's Guide to Life. Want to know my best tips and secrets for organization, travel, weight loss, beauty, fashion, and everything else in between? Go to bing.com/Maria and pick up my new book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for 16 and pregnant. Tonight's host is Mari Fagel. Joining Mari will be AfterBuzz co-hosts Isabel Mora, Courtney Stewart, and Ed Bowling. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest 16 and pregnant news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, Mari Fagel!
Hi, everyone. I can't wait to break down this week's 16 and Pregnant, and we are doing it on camera this week because I'm in Los Angeles. Finally get to meet Isabel and Ed in person.
Yes. Very
and nice. Before we get into the show, though, got to talk about a little book I got here.
Yes.
Did you guys read it yet?
I haven't.
Oh, no. It's not just for the girls. It may be called The Every Girl's Guide to Life, but it's for the guys, too.
Yeah, okay. Ed needs it.
I need The Every Girl's Guide to Life?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to buy one.
Okay. Well, you're convinced. So Maria Menounos' Every Girl's Guide to Life, top of the bestseller list.
Yay.
For guys in your life, girls in your life, Mother's Day, graduation, and for Ed's birthday.
Yeah, my birthday. December.
Mother's Day.
So, okay. Jamie, episode 3.
Jamie and Ryan.
Jamie and Ryan, quite the love story. Okay, so let's just talk about a little intro into Jamie. She, like we were saying, they try to bring in different types of girls every time. This is the, and all of the girls fall into a stereotype, so this is the stereotypical, I'm a smart girl who made a bad decision.
Yeah.
So, brainy girl, student council, straight A student. She wants to be an X-ray technician.
Yeah.
I was like, she seems like she had a good head on her shoulders.
Right, but just like you say, stereotypical, no dad around.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the other thing. Her dad left her as a baby. Her mom's at her boyfriend's a lot, she mentioned.
Right.
Was it a daddy issue thing? Is that why this happened?
Well, talking about just a pregnancy, you know what? That's a really good question. Maybe it was a lack of guidance. You know, if her mom was kind of just looking at her from the surface, thinking, you know what, she's a good kid, she gets good grades. You know, I don't really have to kind of watch over her like a hawk. Then maybe that lack of guidance and the dad being totally not there, contributed to a bad decision. It's one done by a 16-year-old and how she felt at the moment.
Yeah, this is a very sad episode for me. She just seems so needy. When she saw her dad, you saw her eyes just light up. It did not matter when, what time during the episode. The dad could have missed special times, occasions. The minute she saw her dad, it was like, Daddy, you're here. You know, it was so sad.
So we'll talk about their relationship, which definitely had impacted her in a lot of ways, but just quickly, because I was just the way they set her up as being this smart girl, I was so disappointed when they were talking about how she got pregnant, and they were just like, did you use birth control? No. Did you use a condom? Nope.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, that should be a lesson to all of you out there, and it's just like, well, if you're so smart, how do you not know this in this day and age? How? Or was she not thinking, or what?
Well, I mean, that's something that we see, you know, throughout the ages of different people, where this girl was, she even talked about it in the beginning, that she was with a guy who was her complete opposite. It's like, okay, so what are you doing? then why are you with someone who is completely opposite, has different goals, does things, you know, totally differently than you? And so that explains it. You know, not only was she with this guy that had nothing in common with her, you know, she decided to do something maybe the way he said, let's do it, you know, and she just became, you know, did something totally out of character there.
Yeah.
You know, because we see what her character was, and her mom thought, and what all of her friends thought. And this was completely out of character for her.
And quickly, did you see that her mom said she didn't think she should keep the baby?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Mom said right away, her first thought was, well, she's not going to keep it, the kid. You know, so yeah, I remember that.
But how do we feel about, you know, them having a daycare built into the high school? That made me think also, well, how typical is this in this little town?
Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah,
it was like, oh, it's an everyday thing. You know, you just have daycare in your high school and you just bring your baby.
We're going to be talking about her return to high school. But since you brought that up, the quote I wrote down was, she said, they're really supportive of pregnant teens here. In fact, there's a daycare on campus. Like,
right.
Is that typical now? If it is, that's sad.
Wow. Right.
That's sad.
It's just like when you have that class. I know I never had it, but I know a few friends when you go to high school and they have that, they carry that fake baby around. Yeah. It's like, what are they preparing you for?
I had to do that.
Seriously?
Jesse, you wanted to do that.
I didn't, no, they made us take a cooking class. They made us take a sewing class. They made us carry a damn baby around.
Wait, so what was the purpose of carrying the baby? And when? What year was this? Or like how? Which grade?
It was like 10th or 11th grade. And the baby, we would carry a baby around, and if you didn't, like, put the freaking bottle to the baby's mouth every hour to a certain time you had to do it to, the baby would cry. And then every time the baby cries, you get tracked, and the teacher would be the only one who had the key to unlock it, and she would be able to see how many times.
Oh, my God, that's an in-depth one.
Do you remember your baby's name?
No, I did not name my baby. My baby was... I got in trouble with that class.
So that was to prevent pregnancy, is what that was.
Yeah.
No, because it was damn annoying. I'll definitely say that. But we did have to take that. They forced everybody, men, women, everyone, to take that class.
Was it effective?
I don't have a baby.
You have a baby.
I do. But he's
you're a little baby dog.
They're as annoying as the regular babies.
Yeah, so, okay, so let's get into the guy.
Well, first, regarding that, the daycare thing, it seems similar to the kind of feeling we get when we see maybe people at a school passing out condoms. And it's one of those deals where, you know what, there probably has been teen pregnancy, you know, maybe even, you know, a pretty common statistic for a long time. And it got to be such a big deal that the young mothers were having to leave school that the school just decided to say, you know what, are we going to keep ignoring this, or are we going to go ahead and try to add a solution, you know?
But there's a difference between keeping a bowl of condoms in the dean's office and having a daycare center on campus because that almost makes it okay.
Well, I'm not missing the point, because that's the objection to the people that say don't pass out condoms, because they think by passing out condoms, you're saying to the kids it's okay for you to have sex this young.
But by having a daycare center, they're saying it's okay for you to have unprotected sex.
Right. Well, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And to have a baby.
Definitely.
Ooh, I'm not sure. I don't think that they're saying it's okay. I think that what they are saying is, you know,
get pregnant and you'll still get your education.
No, they're gonna say we're not gonna ignore this tremendous need. I think that's what
I think
done.
The bowl of condoms is a better approach than having a daycare center on campus,
like,
because
we'll
then that's really destigmatizing it. And I don't want it to have a stigma. I'm just saying that's really like it. Teens shouldn't think it's that easy. Like, oh, well, there's a daycare on campus, so if I get pregnant, that's okay. Well, I'll just have unprotected sex. I can take my baby with me. It'll be fun. Like, you know, and then so they.
Yeah. It's just like, how bored are these kids in this little town that, you know, they have a daycare building?
Or how prevalent is it?
I mean, it's just not.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's the need had presented itself to where they put all this money to have a daycare, you know, so.
They should have put that money towards more sex education classes. Anyways, so Ryan, the boyfriend, once again, how often on 16 and Pregnant is the guy just not a good guy? He's a partier. This is the first time I've seen this, though. He got a DUI and got his license revoked.
Wow, it's really early to have
that. At like, first, did they not look so young?
They did, which it was one of my predictions last week. Yeah. I said, you know, all I remember seeing was the previews and just looking at them like, wait, are those the little brothers or are those the...
They're halfway through senior year, but they just look so young.
Yeah,
so
they do.
Young.
They both look really young, yep.
Yeah,
really,
so really he has this DUI. She pleads with him to change and stop partying before the baby comes, and he promises that he'll be there for her, yet he misses 3 doctor's appointments to go to court for his DUI. So what did you think of Ryan?
Well, I think in the beginning he looked like he was promising.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I did think that. And because in the beginning we saw him very sober, very coherent, you know, and she said that he was partying, you know, and stuff like that. But when we first saw him, he looked good.
And I don't know about good. I mean, the whole time I was like, is he high?
Yeah.
Not in the very beginning when he was
like
saying.
Like,
what he said was promising. What he said was promising. How he looked, I don't know. And yet again, I think it was another instance of, you know how we talk about how, like, there has to be so much more to this that the cameras didn't capture.
Right.
There has to be more to this because right off the bat, the mom didn't like him and... She kept saying he was such a partier, but we weren't seeing it. So there has to be a lot of issues going back.
Yes, yes. I agree with that.
We'll get more into Ryan's partying and everything. But like you were talking about, and let's talk about Jamie and her dad, John. So, Isabel, what'd you think?
You know, it was every time she said something to him, it was just like a plead. Like, please be around. You know, we don't even know... I mean, I know she said he left a long time ago, but when did he come back? Was he out of her life the entire time? I mean, it really didn't matter because we just didn't ever see him around.
You know what I almost think is worse? I think that, well, having a completely absent father is terrible, but it's almost worse to have a father that's sort of in between. I can't speak to say this, but like if they're completely out of your life, that's awful. But if they give a little, she constantly has that hope, like, because obviously he's in her life a little bit, but then he doesn't call on her birthday, he doesn't respond to her text, so that's almost worse, because it's like, at least if he's not there at all, you learn to move on and accept it. I don't know how you can, but you know, but when you're constantly have these false expectations and these hopes and these empty promises, that's almost worse, because then there's never any closure.
Yeah.
And just the whole thing that he has a new family and it's new kids around. So it's not like he has this issue with kids in his life. He obviously took care of the new ones and just forgot.
Yeah.
When he was saying that stuff about her birthday, I found myself sitting there wondering, is he lying or did he really just not realize it? I mean, so I'll bet you she's probably wondering the same thing. She, you know, it's almost like, well, obviously he's just lying. But I don't know, you know, so I think your point is good. She's going to be constantly without closure there.
Yeah, you know, it's like he does, and we'll talk about this, but like he doesn't go to the baby shower, but he shows up at the hospital. So it's like you don't know what to expect with him, and that I think is what's so hard. But what did you think of her? So she reached out to him. She said, come meet me. He did. So what did you think of their interaction?
It was just sad. And especially when, you know, she says, is that why you forgot to call me on my birthday? And he says, oh, I missed that.
Yeah, he's like, we did talk about it on your birthday.
I thought what was so sad was when he was like, well, call me and I'll come. And then she's like, but it goes both ways. Can't you call me?
Yeah.
You know? And he's the parent figure. So I just wrote so sad. But she invites him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan's parents throw her baby shower. And he was a no-show.
Did we ever see Ryan's dad?
No, we saw stepmom.
The stepmom.
Yeah, that's right, stepmom.
We never saw his dad.
I don't know.
Maybe he also had a DUI or something in jail, arrested.
Well, when they do these shows, not all the family members have to agree to be on camera.
Which actually, I was surprised that the dad agreed to be on camera, John, Jamie's dad, because... She was saying how he was so disappointed in her and didn't even respond to her texts afterwards. Yeah. So I was kind of shocked that he was willing to do this like on camera reunion.
Yeah.
Well, let's see how much you got paid for that.
Yeah. Okay, so they're preparing for the baby, and they bring up the topic with Jamie's mom of Ryan moving in. Obviously, the mom and Aunt him don't get along, and her solution, the mom said, okay, you can stay here, but you guys are not sleeping in the same room. Ryan, you're sleeping in the baby's room because you need to learn to have responsibility. So what did you think of that?
Well, I was, I know they edit the show and stuff, but I was impressed that Ryan didn't take issue with the sleeping in the same room, which is fine, you know, great. But I was actually at that point in the show, I was looking at him, and I was kind of proud of him, I guess you could say, for saying to the mom, no, I'm going to have my daughter. You know, I'm going to take my daughter, and she's going to be with me. It's my daughter. And the mom was saying, you know, that's what you think, but it's not going to happen. So that was my take on it. I still had hope for the guy. You know,
they
hadn't presented him as this guy who'd be willing to be out drunk while his pregnant girlfriend is possibly going to go into labor, and, you know, him out there drunk and with some other girl. So at that point, I was still...
was promising. What did you think of just her suggest? Do you think that was right for her to say, don't sleep in the same room, you sleep in the baby's room?
Well, I think even though we are looking at her like, well, come on, what else can happen? Yeah. It's still a sign of respect. You know, it happened, but I wasn't there, and I didn't agree with it, so you're not going to continue doing it in my home.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, because so I was kind of thinking, like,
sign of respect.
Too late, but yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we all, well, I don't know. I've had, you know, my boyfriends, my live-in boyfriends, where we go stay at my parents. We don't ever, can we stay in your room? I mean, they know there's sex involved, but you just don't do it out of respect. You know, it's kind of like.
So when you go to your parents' house still, you sleep in separate bedrooms?
Yes.
See, at my boyfriend's place, we still, whenever we go to his parents' house, we sleep in separate bedrooms out of respect. And then my parents, it's like we sleep in the same bedroom and it doesn't matter, but it's like.
It depends.
Yeah, it's just so interesting to me, and I totally always will respect that. But it's like, don't they know when we're in New York, we're clearly sleeping in the same bedroom?
Yeah, I think it's a
response.
Well, yeah, and you're not 16 and in high school.
Yeah, no, yeah. No,
it's different.
So now we start to lose the hope in Ryan and the promise at the birth.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man.
What I thought was so sad was, so she's calling him to tell him she's going into labor, and she's calling his friends. He's not even responding, and then she's calling his friends. She's like, do you know where Ryan is? Like, I'm about to have his baby. Do you know where he is? Like,
yeah, they're probably thinking, yeah, he's drunk at the party with his new girlfriend.
You know? I have to say, I wasn't. Yeah, the new girlfriend, we'll talk about that. That totally blindsided
me. Right.
But so he shows up 5 hours late, and
Well, he was more late than that because he should have been there before the labor started.
Yeah. But he shows up 5 hours into labor.
5 hours into labor, right.
Okay, so I'm gonna reiterate the excuse for everyone, and then I want to get your thoughts. So he said, I've been up for 3 nights in a row waiting for your phone call. And the one night that I'm knocked out, you call. I've been up for 3 nights worrying about this, and the one night that I'm knocked out, you call.
Of course, we don't believe it.
Not at all.
It was like so. I just really.
It's something that a 17-year-old would think he could get away with.
Yeah.
He would think, hey, you know what? Nobody. She didn't see me, so I can tell her whatever I want.
Well, I don't think age has anything to do. There's a lot of guys that think that.
But to
that's
tell
something
her that, like, oh my God, such. I mean, first of all, you can see right through it, but second of all, that's just like. That's mean, like, to keep up this hope. Like, oh, I am a good guy. I was sitting waiting for you.
Waiting
which,
for your phone call.
Why waiting for her phone call? Like, if she's about to go into labor the next couple of days, why are you waiting for her phone call? Shouldn't you be with her? Like, and this was the only one. Okay, this was the only one that there was no talk of engagement or anything like this. Did you see rings on their fingers, though? Did you?
No, not at all.
Not
okay.
I always looked. I saw a nice
looked,
band
but
on her finger, but it wasn't on.
Yeah, she had some kind of heart-shaped ring. Or
yeah.
Something,
and there was no talk of that, which usually sometimes there is. So this one, there was, like, clearly no talk of that. But, yeah, so she smells alcohol in his breath. He looks like shit. Did he show up drunk?
He was drunk.
He appeared like he still was under the influence.
Right.
His mom described the mom Jamie's mom described him as having a hangover.
Yeah, because it was like in the afternoon, so yeah. I hope he wasn't like day drinking, but
right. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a bad hangover and he was partying the night before, and then
yeah, he probably gotten really drunk and didn't sleep it off yet, and he had, you know, somehow somebody got a hold of him and woke him up and said, "Hey, you're having your baby right now."
Yeah,
you know, and he got up and came over there.
On the upside, her dad shows up to the birth with flowers. Though, is it an upside? Because that's the thing.
Yeah.
Back and forth and back and forth.
But, you know, I think at a moment so important to her, it was an upside. Because you just see her face change completely the minute he walks in.
I was confused because I felt like he was late to that even. Because he didn't come into the picture until after they were in the, you know, sort of the receiving room. And
I don't think when she was going into labor, they're like, "Hey, Dad, I'm giving birth."
I think that's what she was planning on doing.
Did she want him in the room when she was giving
maybe
birth?
Maybe not in the room, but
have
to
the
be
dads
one of the
typically
people.
Even been in there in
no,
this show?
No, I think usually you wait till you have the baby and then you call everyone that wasn't part of it, and that includes your dad sometimes. And you say,
or she might have called him, but I didn't think it was weird that he wasn't
right,
there during the labor.
That's one thing I noticed. I'm like, okay, why is he coming in late? Why wasn't he there when they were going into the hospital?
No.
And why wasn't he in the waiting room
he's never been in her life, so why would he be
Because to me, that's what he said. He said, no, of course I'll be there.
Yeah, in the hospital.
Yeah, well.
No, it was weird that he showed up late, I'll give you that, but I was happy that he showed up, period.
Right. She was happy even.
I think it was a huge milestone in her life, and you just see her face as soon as he walks in, it's like light all over her face, her smile, to see him hold her daughter, and you know, it's kinda like, I think it's also kinda like a hope, like let's see if we can start all over with her. Which I don't think
he Yeah. Would. And then they were like, "Oh, Grampy, we'll call him Grampy," like it was. We'll see where that one goes. Hopefully, keep your fingers crossed that relationship is going strong, because God knows the other one isn't. Because, okay, so let's talk about this. Ryan, this is where his motives start to get questionable. So she leaves the hospital alone, and Ryan doesn't come, and then he shows up 3 days later. And this is when he starts down his long path of constantly asking to take baby Maya alone to his house, which I don't get it. I understand he's uncomfortable being in her home. I say being in her home with her mother, I say get over it. But like, A, why did he keep asking? And B, is that not totally out of line?
No. It's absolutely not out of line. And, you know, we're getting into an area I think that a couple of us will disagree. But when you are a father and you have a baby, the idea that someone else can tell you when and where you can and cannot see the child, it almost is something that takes away the one thing you have with that baby, and that's the fact that you're the father. Okay, you should, you know, it naturally feels like you should be able to see and be with that baby whenever you want to.
Okay. So then he can go to the mom's house and be with the baby.
So let's define father.
But now, wait a minute. And then also, to be able to take your baby home with you is a very important thing that would sort of cement that relationship.
Well, let's start cementing by buying some diapers or taking care. And I'm not saying give money, but help. If you want to be a father, it's not just show up and say, "Hey, what's up? I'm your dad."
I think she should have introduced the baby to the grandparents on his side, you know, to Josh's parent, Ryan, Josh, where'd that come from? To Ryan's parents. But the baby's a newborn. Like, she needs her mother. I wouldn't trust a 40-year-old father for the first time, a first-time father with their baby a couple days in by themselves without the mother, let alone a 17-year-old who has a DUI.
Right.
Like, I would not trust them by themselves. Like, even my brother, I love my brother and he has two kids, but I don't think my sister-in-law trusted him by himself without her with my niece until she was like two.
Right. No, and it's not my statement was not that he actually should be trusted. No, he shouldn't. He's making horrible decisions, and he's not somebody who should be trusted with a baby. But is the question and the desire that he has out of line? No way. It's not out of line. No, it's his child. And so for him to want to be with the child whenever he wants to, it's not out of line to ask or to even desire that.
But they're not closing the door to that. He can be with his child whenever he wants under her roof.
Yeah, but that's putting pressure. See, again, all I'm saying is, even though this, you know, he's a kid, okay, and the way he went about it was very, you know, narrow-minded and one track and all of that. It wasn't effective. You know, he didn't take advantage of what was being offered to him. There's a lot of things he should do different, I think. But all I'm saying is that his motivations, there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with them. Yeah, I was scared every time he picked up the baby in the house. I was scared he's going to run out the door the whole time.
Yeah.
Right? I was thinking, this is how unstable this kid is.
Yeah.
So you know, yeah, he's not the guy that you should say, oh, yeah, go ahead, take the baby and go. No, I don't think that. But his desire to want to take him home to where his dad is and where his mom is, where Maya's grandparents are, and to be there and have Maya sleep there, there's absolutely nothing questionable or wrong about that.
Maybe it was just
the equivalent to the mom, Jamie, wanting to do the same thing. There is no
difference
between
them. I'm sorry. There's no. It's not the same. There is a difference. She's the mother. Well, she's the mother. She's the nutrients right now. Like,
now, wait a minute. That's just a requirement. Okay. In other words, the baby requires to be breastfed. Okay. Requires that nourishment. So that just means that the mother needs to be there.
But she mentioned that several times and he didn't get that.
Well,
he kept saying, why do you have to be there? Can the baby just
but
not be for 3 hours?
But that's also what I didn't
hours?
Like was his approach.
But
why can't he
can
ask
pump?
For the two of you? Why didn't he say, I'd like for you
right.
and my daughter to go? Not, can I take her? Can I take her? What about
and
Jamie?
She said,
what
can
about
I,
Jamie?
Fine, but can I come? He said, well, does she have to eat for a few hours? Yes. There you go again.
Why isn't he asking her to come along,
why my daughter's not
no,
with you. You
fine.
Don't even know she needs to eat.
It would have been much better for him to do exactly what you guys are saying. But keep in mind, what I'm saying is that it's not wrong for him to say, hey, listen, I want to take her to where I live. I want to take her. I want her to sleep where I am at my house with me. That's not wrong. It's actually a really good thing that he's doing. And by the way, in my opinion, the fact that the default feeling is that the mother has some extra right to be with the baby as more than the father is why all the systems that we have that we face and me as a father who's fighting for custody of my 2.5-year-old right now in the courts, things are stacked against me.
Well, in this case, there was because his name was not on the birth certificate. So there you go. There you go. There's
matter.
No more fight after that.
No.
If your name is not on the birth certificate, you have no right.
Which, why wasn't
no.
his name on the birth certificate?
He was never there to sign it.
Now, it's probably because the mother saw the opportunity to take this guy's irresponsible behavior in his absence to not insist that it be on
so there. What happens in that case? What does it say under father?
I don't know.
I would say unknown.
Yeah, I don't know what it says. But at that point, the only thing is, so they've got a little delay legally on what the guy can do. All he has to do is petition for a DNA test, prove that he's the father, and then he's got fatherly rights according to all the laws and everything in the state.
And I think he should have rights, but maybe it's because I didn't like the approach, also it was a newborn and with an inexperienced father. If she was older, I'd understand it, and I'd think that he could totally take her by himself. But I thought it was wrong of him to ask. I couldn't understand why he didn't get it. By himself, it's a newborn. You have no experience. The mom needs to be there too.
No,
I don't think it's. I think she should come over, but the mom needs to be there too.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I just think that, he did all that stuff. The things that we don't like, how he asked for things, and what he was trying to get, and the way he was trying to get it, just relentlessly.
Yeah,
He did that stuff, in my opinion, because of the immaturity, and because he's already. The other question I wanted to ask about, for us to ask for this guy is, wait a minute. Why? What's his reason for going out and drinking and behaving like he's some sort of an addict or alcoholic at his age? What is there a bad thing that's happened in his life? Is he missing something in his life that he is causing him to do this? To self-medicate with alcohol or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's a guy who obviously makes really destructive decisions no way in the world should any mother be comfortable leaving him with the newborn.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God, the baby was 1 day old, 2 days old, 3 days old.
Yeah.
And he's in there and they're arguing in front of the child.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't even know enough to not yell in front of a baby. So I don't think he should have been able to take the baby. But the fact that he wants to is not a bad thing. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Yeah.
But I had to question his motives there, and then I got a little bit more clarity on it when we find out what happens when she returns to school.
Okay.
So she's in school. She's like, everyone's giving me weird looks. And at first when she said that, I was like, well, that's just because you came back from having a baby. But maybe maybe at a school, the daycare people don't give you weird looks like that. I thought that was why.
Yeah,
but
oh,
actually,
my gosh, she just had a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marie's like, girl, you gained some weight. Everyone's staring at you.
Yeah. Like that. But it turns out the reason they were giving her weird looks, which, ugh, this was so heartbreaking. And I really just, for some reason, I didn't see it coming. So
did he look smart enough to pull it off? He really did not look like someone that had it in him to pull it off.
He really I don't know. So everyone in school knew he had a girlfriend, a new girlfriend for months, meaning he was cheating on his pregnant girlfriend. And everyone in the school knew, which, wait, if everyone in the school knew, then why didn't her friends tell her? But maybe I guess her friends didn't know. Or don't, like, that's shoot the messenger type of thing. Why didn't anyone tell her?
Well, good question. And you know what? The whole, you know, is it really a girlfriend or is it just some girl he was making out with at a party, you know, and then, you know, it could be all the different perspectives that are out there. You know, it could be that his friends remember she and he were opposite. So they probably don't have the same circle of friends. So when they go to a party, there's not any of her friends at the party.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so there's probably like this divide in the school where these are the people that know Ryan. And so they know who knows Jamie. And so, yeah, maybe all of the people that would tell her weren't even privy to it.
They probably knew because she's on 16 and pregnant. MTV cameras are rolling. Everyone knows about their relationship in this high school. That's the most exciting thing to happen to that high school.
How long, I mean, the friends know, but how long ago was the show actually taped?
It's taped just for the last 2 months of their pregnancy.
No. But how long ago were those 2 months from now?
It was in the fall because it was September and October.
Because, see, the show is on now.
Yeah.
Right? And so maybe the majority of people didn't know that she was on 16 and pregnant. Or
trust me, everyone in the high school knew she was on 16 and pregnant while it was being filmed.
But okay, but no, what I mean is
hidden cameras.
No, I'm talking about that's after she had the baby, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's after the whole girlfriend stuff, after everything, is when they went to the school, right? They didn't go to the school when before.
Trust me, all the kids in the school though knew. If you're being chosen as a girl to be on 16 and pregnant. Everyone in the school knows. That's
really,
like,
even if you're home pregnant.
School, and that's a big thing to happen when someone in the school is it's like with Laguna Beach when the kids on Laguna Beach were filmed. Everyone in that high school knew the second MTV contacted Lauren Conrad. You know, like that's big news. Trust me, everyone in that school knew.
Wow. Well.
So now she has to deal with postpartum because we always forget about that, and that's a big thing after having a baby. And then she has to deal with that, and now she has to deal with her ex-boyfriend or finding out he's been cheating on you this whole time. Everything he said.
I said, what a low blow. Ugh. And then when she confronts him, he denies it. And then.
Well, he doesn't really deny it. He just says, oh, I cheated on you. He repeats it. He never says, I did not.
Yeah, it's a fake denial. He just basically,
with that little smile, I cheated on you? Mostly like, we weren't even together. It had been done already.
So now, Ed, I have to ask you particularly your perspective on her wanting to get full custody now.
Well, again, problem with a general malaise over society is someone thinking that they have the right to remove a child from a parent because of something the parent did to the parent, and you know what? They're separate things. That child should not be denied her father. unless the father poses some actual imminent danger, you know, and then you have to step in.
And he doesn't. He's drunk most of the time.
No. If the father is drunk and can't be trusted with the baby, then you have supervised visitations. You have
what does full custody mean? Doesn't full custody just he still would have visitation?
No, full custody means that unless visitation is specified by the court, then the mother can decide every decision for the child, every legal decision and every physical decision, where the baby goes to school, whether the baby goes to the doctor or doesn't go, what it takes, medicine it takes, everything. Everything, legal and physical decisions. And so until the father gets the court to say, okay, he is the dad, and then gets the court to say, okay, you should be allowed to see your daughter based on your drug usage and everything. You should be allowed to see your daughter 2 hours a week under supervised conditions, and you got to pay $60 an hour for the supervisor. There's extreme cases like that. And the children are not allowed to be alone with the father because of the father's life choices. So, but consider how extreme that effort is to make sure that the parent still gets to see the kid. Yeah, it was so important to us that you get to see your kids. We're gonna let you do it, but we're gonna make it so that somebody has to watch you the whole time. Like, why wouldn't you just say, you know what, you're a drunk and you're a drug addict, you can't see your kids. You got no money, you never paid child support, you can't see your kids. It is against the law to deny access to a parent, deny child access to a parent based on money. Every court will tell you, no matter if the dad pays a penny or a dollar or no money or $1 million.
But that's not the case here. They
get the same fatherly rights.
Right, but that's not the case here. We're talking about a drunk, a 17-year-old who's drunk all, the whole time. And I don't think Jamie at any time is trying to be this evil girl that's like, I'm keeping full custody. She just, all she hears is him trying to take the baby the entire time and have him with them. And she's like, no. If you don't accept me with the baby, then we're going to go into court and go through custody and
see what you get. She said she doesn't speak to him. She has strong hatred for him, but she wants the best for her daughter. Right. And that's... Uh-huh.
Well, she also said he doesn't get to see her. He's like, I can't let him. I can't let him see.
That was an impulse reaction to the cheating.
Because at the very end, she does say, I hope he's part of her life and I want him. But I also think, you know, as a mother, you're not... I don't care... You're not going to ever allow your daughter to be around a drunk alone.
And you know what? And nobody's saying that you should, okay? Like I said, there's solutions that the courts and everything they put in place if the father or parent, whoever it is actually poses danger to the child. They actually provide protection for the child, but they still allow the child to be with the parent.
Right, but she never says he's not. She just says, if you want to see her, we're going to go to court and have it down in paper, and that's it.
Which, I think that's right.
Right. For dealing with someone like him.
And the reason why she was doing that is because, obviously, there were a lot of issues of whether or not he could take the baby or whatever, so she was like, let's just have the court do it so we have, like, a written rules about it so that there's not fights between us about it. It'll just be set in stone.
Yeah, when she went to talk to him there and said all that, that was, you know, it's much more sober conversation that she was having with him. But I thought we were talking about her reaction, you know, when she found out the cheating. And then her reaction was to try to talk about how she's going to pull the baby away from him.
Right. That was her impulse reaction, which that probably would be mine too. But then she thought about it and she was like, the mature thing to do is have the courts handle it.
The big problem is that many, many women do not sober up from that reaction. They run with that and they go to the courts and they deny access to a child. And I'm speaking totally from personal experience. Had, you know, my son's mother deny me access to my son because she had asked me for additional money for daycare and I didn't have it. And said, well, if you can't pay, you can't see your son, and close the door in my face. Okay? And I called the sheriff, and I had the sheriff come out. And they said, until you get the court to say that on this day you get access to your child, we cannot force her to let you have your son. So then I had to go and file papers, and it's a year and a half. I'm still fighting for it. And it's, you know, taking all my money and lawyers and everything else. It's insane that I don't have a drug problem. I don't have a drinking problem. I'm not an abusive person. Never had, no criminal, nothing. And right now I have to go before a judge you know, every few months and talk to this person who I never met before, you know, and she gets to decide whether or not I get to see my own child. So the system, although it sees the father and the parental presence as important, there is this ability for these women to have these reactions and then they can run off with it. And then everybody is harmed by it. And so that's what I saw when she did that reaction. And so that to me was very scary. He was scary too, the dad here. Okay. You know, I did not want him to even hold the baby, to be honest with you. Okay. But it's his right. No. You know, we just got to find a safe way to do it.
But there's no safe way with a drunk. And, you know, from all the girls that we've seen, I think Jamie was probably the most mature we've seen. We always see all these girls. And then when you watch the after show, it's like, oh, we'll find out how they're doing as a couple now. No, this girl was standing by her grounds. You know, you cheated. You didn't show up. It's done. Here's your daughter. We're going to work around her. That's it. The end.
Well, it's definitely a controversial topic. I see both sides. And let's hope that they're not in a long, drawn-out custody battle just for the sake of Maya, and we'll see where it goes, and I'm not sure where I stand on it, but we'll have to follow this couple and hope that everything worked out best for the daughter. But on that note, let's go to a commercial break, and then we'll come back to news and gossip.
Want to find out what the AfterBuzz is about?
Janice is a drama queen.
This is the divide that is going to carry the series.
Give us a call. 424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
This television, and they want it to be as dramatic as possible.
I mean, it's Shakespearean.
You never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Find out why AfterBuzz TV is the number one source for after-show content.
Now, in the eyes of Jimmy, Nucky is a villain.
424-256-1729. 424-256-1729.
I mean, who would you guys rather hear that from? Your husband or your best friend?
The wig will come out.
When the TV show is over, get your AfterBuzz on. AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, so this is the third week in a row that Josh Smith and Jennifer Del Rio have made the top of our news and gossip, this couple. So their episode aired last week, and then we mentioned last week on the show that after their latest fight and battle, Josh claimed that she got pregnant on purpose for the fame. And he said she told him she was pregnant before she actually was, so that he wouldn't wear a condom. And as you remember in the episode, he said he didn't want to buy a condom because of the embarrassment of it. But now he's changing his story and saying this. But apparently he has proof that Jennifer did it just to get on the show, because she did the same thing with an ex-boyfriend. She faked a pregnancy. This is apparently a MySpace message from her to her ex-boyfriend. She said, quote, "You're my everything in my world, my life, and now my baby daddy, LOL. I know we are going to have hard times and we're going to want to quit and get annoyed with each other, but now we have each other by our sides for the rest of our life." You're not buying it?
I mean, I can see it. I can see it, but I don't think so. I think anybody can make up a MySpace under your name, put a picture, and send a message. I don't believe it.
I hope not, and it doesn't really make sense with his original story of saying that he didn't want to buy the condoms because he was embarrassed. And also, so in our other news and gossip, three of the girls, Macy, Leah, and Kaylin, were on the Dr. Oz show today, and so was the creator, Lauren Dogan.
Right.
And she said very emphatically that all the girls who've reportedly been getting pregnant on purpose would never make it onto the show, because the show is about unplanned pregnancy. Though I don't know how you would screen that, though. The girl would just say it was unplanned.
And then that's it.
So I don't know. But so anyways, the three girls were on the show. To give you an update, Leah did not confirm the rumors that she and Corey are separating, but she didn't deny them either. But aren't there legal documents? So I'm pretty sure they're separating.
They're divorced. Yes.
She said that being in the media puts a lot of extra stress on the relationship, which I'm sure it does. And Kaylin now has joint custody with Joe of their baby, and she's still working two part-time jobs and going to college. And Macy is a sophomore in college now and works part-time as well. So those are three, I think, three good moms to showcase on the show. But the director of the Parents Television Council was also in the audience, and she said MTV's marketing department gets involved and starts offering up the girls to the tabloids for interviews, that it seems like getting pregnant is a shortcut to fame rather than a cautionary tale, but the creators shot back. The show's opened up a dialogue that wasn't present before, and yes, the tabloids sensationalize it, but the message to teens is still strong and needs to be told. What do you think?
I did see that that PSA that they had referring them to some website for pregnancy prevention.
Oh, they do that every episode.
No. What I'm saying is that that is kind of them supporting their position as, you know, this is just one giant PSA.
Yeah. And then, it was also on there. I remember reading that Macy said that these tabloids, it's not like she goes to them or they pay her for it. They put the news on there anyways, like without her knowing, these tabloids. So I don't know. But let's get into our predictions and our preview of next week.
Oh, yeah.
And now, you're after Buzz TV predictions.
So next week we have Danielle and her boyfriend, and all I could really gather from this that it was a hard labor, blood, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't tell. They looked older. I mean, but... Yeah, maybe they're just older looking, 60, like these were younger looking ones on this show.
Yeah.
So, and I forget what the dad was. He was yelling at her for some reason on the porch after. But yeah, it looked like they had some difficulty in labor, and the mother was, you know, looked very terrified, like somebody was going to die, you know, so, you know, scary.
So we'll see, but definitely lots more drama to keep coming on this season. But I look forward to talking to you guys about it next week. Unfortunately, it'll be audio because I will be back in New York City. But I'm happy to have you guys here. And thank you so much, everyone. This was your episode 3, season 3 of 16 and Pregnant.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz. See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.